A reading from the book of Exodus. God said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night, they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on the same night, I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate, with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Servant am I, the son of your handmaid. I will call on the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people.
Our blessing cup is a
reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in this world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me. Simon Peter said to him, Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well. Jesus said to him, Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. So when he finished washing their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightfully so, for I am indeed. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, we recall our Lord's Last Supper, while his disciples, his closest friends, seem clueless to this fact. Jesus was well aware that he would be leaving them and that his time of training his disciples was coming to an end. We should pay all the more attention then to these words and his actions. This last meal is celebrated in the context of the Passover, one of the most significant events in the salvation history for the Jews. As told to us in the book of Exodus, the blood of lambs was placed over the doors of Israelite homes in Egypt as a marker for God's angel. All the firstborn children in Egypt would die because Pharaoh refused to let the Israelite people go free. But those homes marked by the blood of the lamb, the angel of God would pass over them. As a result of this event, Pharaoh allowed the people to go free. In their exodus from Egypt, God establishes a covenant with the people of Israel. God says to them, You will be my people and I will be your God. Despite such marvelous works of God, and despite the numerous prophets sent by God to call the Israelites to be faithful to that covenant, still they turned away from God time after time. It's in this context that Jesus celebrates his Last Supper. Jesus will soon pass over from this world to the Father. But his passion, death, and resurrection will bring about our new Passover from sin and death to new and everlasting and fullness of life. In the Eucharist, Jesus establishes the new and everlasting covenant with us. At the table with his disciples, Jesus takes bread and wine, says the blessing, and as we hear at every Mass, Jesus says, This is my body, which is given up for you. And this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many so that sins may be forgiven. At every Mass, we celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we respond, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. By dying for our sins, we are free. By rising from the dead, we too can share in everlasting life. Again, that's not just in terms of heaven, but the fullness of life that we can be living right now, here and now. But then Jesus goes further. If you remember at Christmas time, we celebrate Christ's birth by proclaiming his many grand titles. He is Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. But at his Last Supper, the night before he died, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. It's no accident that this action is linked to the Eucharist. Peter recognizes the shock of this role reversal. In every human context, the one in authority and power and influence is served. But Jesus, in one last gesture, demonstrates to his followers that it should not be so with them. Jesus says, "You address me as teacher and Lord, and fittingly enough. But if I washed your feet, I who am teacher and Lord, then you must wash the feet of others as well." Now there are two parts to the washing of the feet, the receiving and the serving. The washing of the feet is not some random act of service, but one that is deeply symbolic. As Jesus makes clear to Peter, we must first receive this act of service. The washing reminds us that our baptism unites us to Jesus and to his death. He has gained life for us, something we can't do on our own. That washing in our baptism puts us in touch with that life. Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." But this new life given us in Christ calls forth in us a response. We don't simply receive, taking in God's grace upon God's grace. No, we respond to that life given us in imitation of Jesus, who is the man for others. Again, Jesus says, "As I have done, so you must do." Now, sometimes that service isn't glamorous. Like washing feet, we may be called to serve in ways that make us uncomfortable. It may not be dignified. It may be difficult, and it might cost us. But what Jesus teaches us in word and in action is that living life to the full is accomplished in no other way than in self-sacrificing love of others. The mystery of our faith, demonstrated by Christ, is that it's in dying to ourselves. It's letting go of our worries, our needs, our preoccupations, and instead focusing on the care of other people. It's when we do that, that's when we become most alive. Let's pray that through these holy days of this Triduum, we might grow in the knowledge of God's great love for us. And let's pray that we might experience the freedom given us in Christ's self-sacrificing love. And finally, let's pray that we may respond in generous love, in imitation of Jesus, by loving and serving one another.